To keep the general population conflicted, better lick your finger and turn a page. Dissect the lines that made you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on front page fuckery.
Would you look at that? Looks like I'm back. Back once again with the ill behaviour. It's me, Kelechi. The baby girl, the mother of London. Ha! Back with another public podcast. Who would have thunk it? If you haven't met me before, that's great. Thank you for joining me. My name is Kelechi Okafor. I hope to be one of your favourite things about Mondays going forward. But in typical me fashion, this is likely going to come out on a Tuesday because I am recording on a Monday and it is about to be midnight and then it will be Tuesday. But what can I do? Because I had so many grand ideas about what I wanted this podcast to be. FYI, this podcast that you're listening to is called Front Page Fuckery. That's right. Turning bad news into good conversation. Anyway, I had all of these ideas about how I wanted this announcement to be, and I thought I'd make a cute video of old me leaving SYM, which is Say Your Mind, my previous podcast. Those who know, know. I thought, you know, I'll do this cute video. It took me 4 hours. 4 hours to do a simple, I say it's simple, but a very interesting transition. It took me 4 hours. The 4 hours that I should have spent actually recording this, I was doing that. Very crazy behavior. Anyway, let's get into it. The whole point of this podcast is to look at the front pages of the newspapers. By the time this comes out, the news might have moved along. Who knows? But I'm just sharing with you what I've seen and what I think. That's that. Let's get straight into it, though. So this week I picked up The Guardian, I picked up The Daily Fail, also known as The Daily Mail, and I picked up The iPaper as well as The Times. So we should get into what they have to say. So on the front page of The Guardian, as of Monday, the 8th of September, 2025, I'm seeing this caught my eye. Why Gen Z are signing up to luxury gyms. Everyday Gen Z. I don't know. I don't know the difference. The other day, one of my friends sent me this, my own video, and there was a pause before I started talking. Usually I cut out the pauses, right? And he was like, this is why Gen Z make fun of us millennials. The pause that you did at the beginning of the video. I didn't even know that this was a thing. I did not know that this was a thing. I don't tend to, but apparently that's what us millennials are doing. I am just focused on living a good life and having a flourishing punani. I don't know about the rest of the things that the girlies are worried about. I really don't. Aside from that, why Gen Z are signing up to luxury gyms, couldn't give two fucks. Sorry, I forgot to say that clearly, as the title shows, there will be swearing. It says here, stop making mistakes, Starmer, warned by senior Labour figures. Now, as we know, Angela Rayner, or if you don't know, Angela Rayner was the deputy prime minister, as well as the deputy leader of the Labour Party. And I had a feeling when Labour came into government, that there would be tight competition between Angela Rayner and Keir Starmer. And I think that's partly the reason that she was exposed for the amount of tax or whatever that she paid on one of her homes or whatever. I feel like she was stitched up because I'm sure the rest of the girlies are doing madnesses with their expenses and their taxes too and their properties. But it seemed very particular how they set in on her. But not that I care because she's pissed me off for a long time. So whatever. But I do find it interesting how this has been navigated. And apparently what David Clammy will be or is the deputy prime minister, but not necessarily the deputy leader of the Labour Party. And I think that he would be chosen, obviously, as the deputy prime minister because Keir Starmer doesn't see him as a threat. So it makes sense. Whereas Angela Rayner, I believe that she was proving to be a threat to his position. Anyway, it says here, stop making mistakes, Starmer, warned by senior Labour figures. Labour insiders form new centre-left group in bids to change party's direction. Keir Starmer was warned by senior Labour figures to stop making mistakes yesterday as the battle over its deputy leadership contest began amid fears the government could retreat on workers' rights. As candidates began to jostle to replace Angela Rayner, the Prime Minister faced public criticism from Emily Thornberry, a potential contender, who warned that further mistakes from him could lead to having to hand our country to Farage. Andy Burnham, the mayor of Greater Manchester, also called for a reset and a more pluralistic style, telling The Guardian that the government needed to be listening to the heartbeat of the party. Burnham, who is considered by some as a future candidate to succeed Starmer, I was going to say that, that's who's hot on his heels, I would say, cannot run for the deputy leadership, but he endorsed either Lou Hague or Lucy Powell, two former cabinet ministers sacked by the prime minister. Union leaders also warned Starmer yesterday against any attempt to water down Angela Rayner's employment rights bill, which is still making its way through parliament. Rayner's employment minister, Justin Madders, who was removed from his job in the reshuffle, said yesterday it would be really, really foolish for the government to row back on key manifesto commitments that are popular with the public and will show what a positive difference a Labour government can make. Downing Street and Labour sources insisted the legislation would proceed despite pressure from businesses to water down some of the protections against unfair dismissal. This reshuffle is about boosting growth, productivity and making people better off. Higher pay and stronger rights for working people is a key part of the government's programme, one senior government source said. There was still nervousness among unions with Peter Kyle, the new business secretary, probably talking some. I want to look also at, because obviously Tony, I was going to say Tony Blair, but might as well be, Keir Starmer being the prime minister. There's a lot of news about him. It just feels very off, if you ask me. Very, very off. It says here, what did he say? The new business secretary phoning general secretaries this weekend to reassure them that the bill would go ahead. Paul Novak, the TUC general secretary, urged the prime minister to commit to implementing the legislation in full, while the Unite general secretary Sharon Graham said, if they don't become a workers' government, the workers will seek other answers. The stark warnings are already there. It is understood Starmer's first meeting of his reshuffled cabinet tomorrow will focus solely on economic growth. Number 10 is braced for a deputy leadership contest in which candidates publicly criticise Starmer's first year in government, during which Nigel Farage's Reform Party has soared in the polls. I've always said that I feel like Starmer's a bit of a plant, though. Like, if I wanted to discombobulate this country, of course I'll just put people in. I'll put somebody in who holds really strong kind of conservative ideology, and then everybody's a mess. People leave, people go and set up other things, and it throws the country into disarray, because I personally believe that there is a direct correlation between the rise of these right-wing idiots as well as in line with Starmer's premiership, as far as I'm concerned, because all of this is just weird. It's weird behaviour. Well, there were other bits, but I'll go into them shortly. Ukraine hit by largest Russian air attack yet. Russia launched its largest air attack on Ukraine yesterday, hitting a key government building for the first time and killing at least three people, including a mother and her baby. The assault drew widespread condemnation, including the threat of further US sanctions. The bombardment of the capital with a large number of drones and missiles injured at least 18 people and set scores of buildings on fire. Explosions were also reported in the cities of Odessa, Kharkiv, Dnipro, Zaporizhia, and these names are mad. Authorities triggered a countrywide air raid warning at 6:06 a.m. local time and later accused Russia of deliberately striking civilian targets. The Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, called the attack a deliberate crime and prolongation of the war when real diplomacy could have begun long ago. He later said he was counting on a strong response from the US. Why are you counting on a strong response from the US when you went to the White House, Trump batted you up? And it's interesting to me, again, with headlines, right, how it can be written here that Ukraine hit by largest Russian air attack yet. But let it be Israel. Let it be Israel. And they will write that the building exploded in Palestine. How did the building explode? How did the mother and child die? They can't tell you that, but they'll be writing nonsense instead, like writing it so passively so as to absolve Israel of any accountability. So that's interesting to me. Millions face higher risk of heart failure due to dirty air. Stroke risk is 7% higher and heart failure risk increases by 27% in areas with worse pollution. And they're usually places where people of lower socioeconomic backgrounds and or racially minoritized people live. And there's something to be said about that. And it says here, self-testing menopause kits are clinically useless, doctors say. Experts say over-the-counter hormone tests can be misleading, unnecessary, and risk undermining women's healthcare. So why don't we then make women's healthcare more robust and readily available so people don't have to be buying over-the-counter things to figure out what's happening in their lives? So that was The Guardian. Anyway, we're moving on to The Times. The Times. Oh, why the obsession with Gen Z? The Guardian's one was why Gen Z are signing up to luxury gyms. This one's now lazy Gen Z. I work 18 hours a day. What is this? What kind of propaganda? Is Prince Harry coming in from the cold? I don't know what that's about. Trump plans sanctions on Russia as Kiev battered by airstrikes. The United States will bring in more sanctions against Russia, President Trump indicated last night after the biggest air assault of the war on Ukraine. Russia launched 823 missiles and drones at cities across Ukraine overnight into yesterday, killing 4 people and striking the main government building in Kiev. Or is it Kyiv? Well, the show must go on. Asked afterwards if he was ready to enter the second phase of sanctioning Russia and punishing President Putin, Trump said yes. In Kiev, a young woman and an infant less than a year old were killed. President Zelensky said that more than 44 people had been injured across the country. Such killings now, when real diplomacy could have started long ago, is a deliberate crime and prolongation of the war, he posted on social media. It has been repeatedly stated in Washington that a refusal to talk will result in sanctions. The US has been critical of European countries that have not threatened secondary sanctions against nations dealing with Russia. Scott Bessent, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, told NBC, if the U.S. and the European Union can come in, do more sanctions, secondary tariffs on the countries that buy Russian oil, the Russian economy will be in full collapse, and that will bring President Putin to the table. Although 751 drones and missiles were shot down, Russia managed to penetrate. What was that? Thought something shifted in my camera. Russia managed to penetrate central Kiev's defenses and the top floors of the cabinet Cabinet of Ministers building were hit. Sir Keir Starmer said the strikes were cowardly and showed that Putin believes he can act with impunity. Putin said on Friday that any European troops stationed in Ukraine during the war would be legitimate targets. Now, let me tell you, I keep hearing this Ross Clark microphone. Let me tell you something about Putin, because he's a fellow Libra, I believe. And you'll be like, oh, I came to hear about news, not about your stupid astrology. Fuck off. He's going to do what he's going to do, is the thing. And I find it interesting how Keir Starmer has energy to say all of this stuff to Putin, who I think could cause more damage to Britain than whatever the hell. Well, I say that, but Israel has, you know, Israel has Britain by the ball bags. It really does. But it's just interesting to use these words like cowardly and rare. But would you say that about Netanyahu? Could you? No, you can't. The vim isn't there, and Putin knows that the vim isn't really there. And I don't know what he's got going on, but I just want him to know, in case you've got your man them from the KGB and whatever else, if they happen to be watching this podcast, can you see how cute I look even without makeup? I'm not trying to die anytime soon. I'm too cute to die. If you've got beef with the man them in the Houses of Parliament, you take it up with them. Take it up with them. Don't bring the rest of us into it, because we weren't the ones that called you cowardly. We don't actually have a clue what's going on. And we're thinking maybe it's the fact that you were meeting up with Kim, and you're meeting up with Chi. You're meeting up with all the man them. BRICS is growing as its own coalition. It's looking very mad in a dance. Generally, people are stressed. People are worried. America knows that it's losing its footing on the world stage. So war is going to be the order of the day. And they're saying mad things about you, but you never heard it come out of my mouth. Just balance those scales correctly is all I'm saying. Okay. But no, on a serious note, it is interesting how they're going about doing a lot of this stuff, because what is printed through the Murdoch media doesn't get us very far, but I still like to explore it anyway, because why not? But I feel like there are things under the surface that isn't being obviously communicated to us, and they'll say it's a case of national security. I was watching the other day, apparently, that the wording is it the Pentagon? You can correct me if I'm wrong. The Pentagon, they've changed it from defense to war. And people are like, oh my God, they've changed it to war. It's always been war. It has literally always been war. All of this defense that America claimed it was doing all of these years, there was no defense. It was on the attack. It was looking for everybody else's trouble and then making you believe in your country through an insular media that, oh, everything that's happening is to protect our country. We're the freest country in the world. We're the most powerful country in the world. Just having this bubble where people are brainwashed to believe just about anything is absolutely crazy to me. So it is, I'm glad that, you know, my controversial take about Trump, and I've said this before, is that Trump is showing what has been rotting all along. Everyone's busy doing up, oh my God, this is so rotten. Oh my God, he's rotten. You know, this is rotten. He's rotting everything. That accent was really mad. But they're basically saying that everything is rotting, or now it's rotten, when no, it's been that way all along. He's just showing you where the lies are, not deliberately because he's a pussy clerk, but it's just because of the way that he is, because the system has now, you know, the empire must crumble. So the system is eating itself. It's using Trump to do that. Trump is the compost, right? And what we're seeing is what we're meant to be seeing. I couldn't follow the metaphor any further, but you get what I mean. Anyway, it says here, PM to ask Blairite in new cabinet, to task Blairite in new cabinet with growth. Starmer wants to reform, wants reforms on building and welfare, net zero regulation in the firing line. Sir Keir Starmer has appointed Blairites to key roles in a cabinet reshuffle to help push through welfare reforms and ease net zero regulation in an effort to boost growth. What do these words even mean? This is what pisses me off. You're just writing bullshit. Because if you weren't busy canoodling with Israel and doing all manners of things that nobody begged you to do, you could actually focus on the country. You think Blairites... Blairites are the ones that are going to make this country better. As in Tony Blair. As in weapons of mass destruction Blair. Oh, everybody's fucking crazy. Everybody's fucking crazy. The Prime Minister handed the main economic departments to ministers on Labour's reforming right flank as he sought to use Angela Rayner's resignation to revive his faltering political fortunes by stripping back barriers to growth. The New Look cabinet will meet for the first time tomorrow, and Starmer will tell them to step up a gear in the focus on the economy. Steve Reid, who replaced Rayner as housing secretary, told civil servants over the weekend his mantra was build, baby, build. What do you mean build, baby, build? Are you fucking idiots forgetting about Grenfell? It was this stupid, nonsensical focus on alleged growth and scrapping policies that were in place for our health and safety that led to the fire. That led to the fire at Grenfell. That led to nonsensical cladding, dangerous cladding making its way into this country and then being used on these buildings. What do you mean by growth? What are you talking about? People are just saying words, and this is the issue, and this is why I wanted to make the this podcast, because people are just saying words and nobody understands what the fuck is going on. And it's by design. It's like we're not meant to understand. We're just meant to see that our lives are getting harder and harder. It's crazy. He will meet developers this week as he promises to move on to the next stage in unleashing one of the biggest eras of building in our country's history, and will tell home builders, I will leave no stone unturned to build the homes Britain desperately needs. Is that social housing? Is that social housing that we actually do need so people aren't experiencing homelessness? Is it social housing that we're going to have, or are you just talking shit and we're going to have more empty buildings that nobody's allowed to live in because they don't have the money? Government insiders said net zero regulation had emerged as a particular issue for many firms, pointing to the appointment of Michael Shanks as the joint business and energy minister as a sign that Starmer was ready to ease environmental red tape. There's a tension between net zero and driving growth, so you're drawing them under one portfolio and saying business comes first, a government source said. Kyle was due to fly to Washington last night to meet White House officials and US business leaders before heading on to China. From day one in the job, I've been clear that my mission is to drive forward economic growth and to give businesses across the country the opportunities they need to thrive. Kyle said, Pat McFadden, the New Work and Pension Secretary, has been handed a revamped Department of Welfare and Skills and tasked with making another attempt to reform benefits after a chaotic retreat over the summer on an attempt of £5 billion of cuts. All I can say is that it's rubbish. All I can say is that it's rubbish. I don't know where we're going with all of this. People have less than before. Arguably, people have less than when the Tories were in. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. So it's just looking very mad. Like, why should Starmer stay as leader of the Labour Party and even stay as Prime Minister when people's lives are getting harder and harder? And pardon me. Because their lives are getting harder and harder, they're going out in the streets to go fight. That's scary times. Two doctors' surgeries are shutting every week. Two GP surgeries are shutting every week, forcing family doctors to care for hundreds more patients. Patients face travelling further to see a doctor as more than 1,000 practices have closed since 2018. Medical leaders have called for more funding for family doctors, but ministers say that better local care requires more fundamental reform based on super surgeries offering a wider range of treatment. They want to privatise healthcare, is really what they're saying. Here to continue to privatise healthcare. Wes Streeting, the health secretary, has said that better local treatment to help prevent illness is key to his vision for fixing the NHS, and a 10-year reform plan published over the summer promised a network of neighbourhood health centres to bring care out of the hospitals. He also promised to bring back the family doctor and end the 8 a.m. scramble for appointments. That means many patients have little choice but to go to accident and emergency. However, the scale of the problem is set out in a new analysis of data by the Royal College of GPs, which shows that 1 in 7 GP practices have shut since 2018. There are now 6,229 active practices in England, down 14% on 7 years ago. There are now 5 million more registered patients, and GP numbers are down by more than 600. This means that each family doctor is responsible for 2,257 patients, up from 2,034 in 2018. It's just a recipe for disaster, really. The answer will always be give people more money. Put more money into the GP practices that we have. No. Instead, let's put money towards war, because we're trying to garner a war so we can control more people. So we're going to put money towards that. And if you can't see your GP, well, that's your fucking problem. That's how it sounds. Like, that's what it feels like. Anyway, let's see the Daily Mail here. What's this? I earn 4 times what my husband makes. It's killed our sex life, and now we're on the brink of divorce. Okay, girl. New Channel migrant record on Home Secretary's first day in job. 30,000 reasons why Labour won't stop the boats. More than 1,000 migrants arrived in the UK in small boats on Saturday, just as new Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood was ordered to go up a gear to stop them. On her first day, she was confronted with the second highest number of illegal migrants to enter the country this year in a 24-hour period. The surge of 1,097 small boat migrants tipped the total for 2025 to more than 30,000 in record time, and is 37% up on the same date last year. Ms. Mahmood said it was utterly unacceptable. Beyonce and Jay-Z to join Cotswolds set. I don't know what that's about. What's Beyonce and Jay-Z doing? I'm coming back to the migrants thing. Well, let's do the migrants thing first. It's utterly unacceptable and is expected to order the transfer of migrants from hotels to army barracks. She will also consider changing human rights laws to make it easier to reject and deport asylum claimants. Ms. Mahmood said yesterday a deal with France to return illegal migrants would begin soon, adding, "These small boat crossings are utterly unacceptable, and the vile people smugglers behind them are wreaking havoc on our borders. Thanks to our deal with France, people crossing in small boats can now be detained and removed to France, and I expect the first returns to take place imminently. Protecting the UK border is my priority as Home Secretary, and I will explore all options to restore order to our immigration system." Ministers are close to a one-in-one-out returns deal with Germany, following the one with France, and have indicated they will consider reforming the European Convention on Human Rights. Which I think is interesting. I think that it's a ruse and it's a cover. The real reason to rejig the European Convention of Human Rights on human rights is because of surveillance. It's surveillance. Like, they'll, and this is what gets me about these fucking idiots that are outside the hotels yapping, shouting up and down? Do you not understand that it was through the European Convention of Human Rights that allowed for free movement of workers and such, is how you can bring in different players from different countries to come and play for your football teams that you've tattooed on your arms and the ink has gone blurry? Do you not understand that? Do you not understand that the reason that there are certain regulations even around the food that we're able to eat in order to make sure that they're safe? Do you not understand that that also comes from having human, you know, the European Convention of Human Rights? So they're trying to get you to let go of it so we can be more, you know, so we can be hyper surveilled, so they can check everything that we're doing. But in order to give you, in order to do that, they've got to present us with something that seems like, oh yeah, this is the real issue. Like, in order to get some things over the line, governments have to bank on our hatred, our ignorant hatred, and say, well, since you hate this so much, why don't we change this thing that was protecting you all along? Because do you think it's going to stop there? Why are you not thinking? And I hope that there are repercussions for all of you man that ran to Spain, ran to go and live elsewhere. I hope that they ship your clerks back to Britain should things change for other people as well. And Shabana Mahmood, Shabana, it's interesting the people who are being used, the faces, the puppets, that are being used in terms of POC, people of colour, in order to do the nasty things. When it comes to the border, it has really been black and brown faces, primarily brown faces, that have been used to do this. And people are praising and saying, yes, this is what we need to do because the country's suffering. What did Britain do everywhere else? Tell me now. Quickly. What hand... does Britain have in the destabilization of the governments for the, of the countries that these people are fleeing from? Because we don't tell the entire story. And then you're having people believe that, oh, yeah, they're just coming over here, fucking rats. Tell them why they've got to come over here. What have you been doing, Britain? Crazy work. Like, people are really championing and shouting up and down for their own demise, not realizing. And now they're telling you to come and join the army. Since you've got no food to eat and no healthcare, come and join the army. Where is it? Oh, from LA to the Cotswolds, Beyonce and Jay-Z plan spectacular £18 million estate. The Cotswolds are no stranger to celebrity residents, with stars such as the Beckhams and Jeremy Clarkson. That's a massive jump. Who cares about Jeremy Clarkson? Among those setting up in the picturesque countryside, it is now thought that Beyonce and Jay-Z are in the final stages of buying 58 acres of land on the outskirts of Wigginton after receiving planning permission to build a spectacular rural estate said to be worth at least $18 million. If the American singer and her rapper husband, one of the most powerful couples in the music industry, seal the deal, they will be a stone's throw away from the village of Great Chew, around which is a string of big names, have previously bought property, such as Kate Moss, David Cameron, Rupert Murdoch, and the former US talk show host, Ellen DeGeneres. In April, the Daily Mail's Richard Eden and Stephanie Tacky revealed that the couple were focused on the Cotswolds now because of the land and space. A friend explained, the wildfires have given them a good reason to look outside of Los Angeles to build new bases. They will always be based in LA, but the UK is on the agenda. Beyonce loves the UK because they support everything she does. They added, Jay-Z and Beyonce have stayed there. They've been looking for properties and will buy if they find something or somewhere that feels like home, but are looking at short-term agreements while they make their decision. It comes from following backlash from villagers disturbed by high-profile arrivals, with the latest news dividing locals. One, Jerry Barago, 77, told The Times, I don't give a flying toss. I don't give a flying toss. He explained that his wife frequently sees Beyonce 44 and Jay-Z 55 swoop into Burford Garden Center in their classic Range Rovers. When someone points them out to my wife, her first reaction is to ask who they are. Mr. Barago added, some of these so-called celebrities I've never actually heard of. Other long-term residents of the Wigginton area shared their concerns with Thomas Winter, 30, saying he fears it could limit his opportunities to get on the housing ladder, referencing US Vice President J.D. Vance's visit to the Cotswolds last month. He said the ethos of the area had changed due to the influx of Londoners and the big names buying property in the area. Another described the Jay-Z move as madness, but one excited local couldn't wait to see Beyonce at the Village Fete. You're all crazy. You're all crazy is the thing. There are so many reasons why that's crazy. And I also wonder why that area specifically. I don't know anything about like land mapping or anything like that, but I wonder, because a lot of celebrities now, they're not necessarily building their houses up. They're building their houses down, right? And to have bunkers and things like that. And so call me a conspiracy theorist. I think that you can build good bunkers or have a house with a good bunker in the Cotswolds. More, you're not in a city, you're not crowded. And we know that something's going to happen to America very soon, especially LA, aside from the wildfires. The iPaper simply gives us, well, we've got Putin, but this is the iPaper, right? Putin strikes at heart of Kiev. Why reform will not want Boris Johnson, when bed bugs bite on holiday and how to stop them. I keep hearing about bed bugs, please. I rebuke it. Migrant hotel closures to be fast-tracked as Starmer faces labour unrest. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood calls record number of channel crossings utterly unacceptable and promises returns to France imminently. PM is rushing or is pushing ministers to accelerate closure of asylum hotels amid warnings from Red Wall Labour MPs that government needs a tougher approach. New crackdown on welfare expected under McFadden at work and pensions. They kept theirs nice and succinct, how I like it. Let's see here. PM wants military sites to take asylum seekers across as crossings hit record. Military sites are set to be used to house asylum seekers under Sir Keir Starmer's plans to stop using hotels as migrant accommodation is as quickly as possible. The Prime Minister, and it's interesting, I'll stop there because I mean we've pretty much covered a bit of it, but I think it's interesting how they want the optics of not having migrants, as they call them, people who are coming over here seeking asylum, not wanting them to stay in hotels because they don't want it to seem nice and enjoyable. They don't want these people to seem like they are in any way comfortable, because the hateful, nasty British public are losing their shit over it, right? So they need to then do something like the army barracks to show discomfort, because if they could, I'm sure they would get them one of them floating boats again and put them on there instead. And it really sickens me that this is how they get around so many things in this country. Like, let's make the people who are already suffering, who are already trying to escape from whatever they've got going on, let's make it even worse for them. So this miserable cunt of a person that's likely never going to interact with them at all can feel safer knowing that, you know, these people are miserable. It's weird behavior. And then talking about, oh, we've got to protect our children from them. You man are pedophiles. You man are actually pedophiles. You lot that are jumping up and down, there's a significant portion of you that are pedophiles, but you're shouting about protecting children. This was never about the children. This was never even about the women, because after you've drank two Stella Artois, you're beating up the women anyway. So it's not about that. So what is it about? It's about hatred. It's nasty hatred. And it's hypocrisy. Because you can go everywhere, but you don't want people to come here. That's crazy behavior. Anyway, I feel like for my first little sesh, I'll leave it there. It's always rather intimidating going through these newspapers, but it's something I want to do. And there'll be those of you who are like, oh, well, it was this policy and this policy. That's great. You know where your section is? It's called your front. So at this point, when I would finish looking through these papers, I'll then read the letters that you've sent me via email. You can send it to my old email address, sym@kelechiokafor.com, and start the subject with your front, as in facial front. Yeah, send me what you've seen in the papers that you think I should be talking about, because this isn't just about me yapping at you. I also want to hear what you think of the news that you're seeing as well. Ideally, like I said, this comes out on a Monday, so anything that you see throughout the week that you want to update me on, do send it to sym@kelechiokafor.com, and I might just read it out on my new show. But thank you for joining me. I mean, what time is it now? Bloody hell, 12:30. But I did it. I created my inaugural episode of Front Page Fuckery, and I love that for me. Anyway, like I said, that'll be it for now, and I'll be back next week. Thank you. I've been Kelechi Okafor, and this has been Front Page Fuckery. Catch you on the other side of the news. Bye.
Oh, have you heard the news? It's probably been twisted to keep the general population conflicted. Better lick your finger and turn the page. Dissect the lines that made you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on Front Page Fuckery.